Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. It's the most important way to support the Mike O'Mara Show, especially during the holidays. The next time you need to buy any gift for that person you love, just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon button on our website, then shop like you normally would. It's that simple, and happy holidays from the Mike O'Mara Show and everybody at Amazon.com.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Boys.
Old man.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Two things have happened down in South Florida during the time that I have been down here with my beloved bride. Two things. A, she has fallen in love with the state. We're moving. I've told you we're moving, and this was the test drive that I was getting for the show first, but secondly to see how Mrs. O'Mara liked it down here. She is all in on the state of Florida. She loves it down here. And one of the other developments about being down here in Florida is that Mrs. O'Mara has turned into my mommy. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with it.
Is that kind of hot?
No, it's not in a hot way.
Okay, good. Because that would have been creepy. That would have been bad.
It's in a drive you to the drugstore, pharmacy counter, wheel you in on your walker, speak loudly like you're a toddler way. Now, that's the type of
way that
she's
become my mommy. Pick up your toys, Mike.
Are the roots of it based? Did it begin with her cooking you three meals a day?
No, I would just like to dispel that myth.
Because we've seen some of this happen, even as we live our lives. The door opens and the BLT shows up. BLTs are there. Ta-da!
Well, I will say that she has been wonderful on a couple of days, and she is very good about that. She likes that. Down here, we've downsized. It's a smaller home. She is down here with the baby. She is not going into her office. What?
She can't hide.
She can't hide. You're absolutely right, Oscar. She cannot hide. So it is a situation where, she has been kind of telling me what to do, kind of bossing me around. After the show is over, once the show is done, and yes, she does provide a meal once in a while, but then she is the straw that stirs the drink.
What'd you have for breakfast? What'd you have for breakfast?
I had an omelet with ham and cheese, a bowl of fresh pineapple.
Oh,
wow. Look at you.
And that was it.
She made that for you.
She did. Well, she didn't make the pineapple, Oscar. God made the pineapple.
Well, actually, yeah, but Carla went to their backyard to pick it from Mike O'Mara's fabulous fresh pineapple tree.
That's right, Rob. Carla went out to the back of the plantation here in Florida.
The cocoon orchard.
The cocoon plantation. And hey, Carla, why don't you go in the backyard, pick pineapple. Do it right now. But anyway.
Now, a question for you.
Yes, go right ahead.
I feel I excel in my marital relationship when I am told what to do. A lot of times I need guidance.
Yes.
So do you think you benefit from her taking this matronly, and I don't mean matronly like tall and robust. I mean like a motherly way. Do you benefit from this?
Oh, there's no doubt that I benefit from it, but I don't have to like benefiting from it. I don't have to enjoy it. I don't have to be thrilled with the fact that that she's doing it. I say yes, her direction and especially her dietary guidelines have been helpful for me down here, although I've been breaking a lot of those rules lately also, as I'm often wont to do.
So she's been spending less time down in the sugar. She's spending less time in the sugar plantation out back and having you avoid sweets.
This is true.
All the sugar cane. Yes.
That leads me to our opening vignette segment today.
Okay.
Some of the foods you think are good for you may actually be causing you to gain weight.
What?
I know Rob is concerned about this.
What?
Not. check out this list of 7 health foods that have tons of calories. This is some I know, some I don't know. I'll give you the ones that I do know.
You see, weight gain to me is an issue. I know you'll laugh. Ha ha. You'll think it's not. It is an issue. Where this list loses me is health food.
Yes. Well, weight gain and health food, they're tied together.
If
you want to eat healthy, you eat healthy. Now, here's something that I knew about. Dried fruit. And I knew that because of my mommy, because Carla would always tell me, that's the situation. You want to avoid that because it's really like candy. And the reason for that, when the fruit is dry, the sugar becomes dense, so there are more calories.
Yeah. There is the villain.
So that's why that works.
That's the villain in my fruitcake. It's rich with dried fruit.
Well, your fruitcake, you're not even thinking health at that point. You're first of all, you're loading yourself with preservatives.
No, I think that it's very healthy with all the nuts in it. It's like trail mix that you can eat.
With booze, butter, and fat.
Actually, no butter in it.
Butter in fruitcake?
All vegetable oil.
Wow.
I learned this lesson the hard way as one summer I spent the majority of my summer. I think this is the summer of 2008 when we were briefly unemployed from CBS Radio with our friend Dominic Foxworth.
Right.
And he had all this dried fruit in his house. And the association I didn't make was that he was an NFL football player and he could afford to eat what he'd like, and dried fruit, if you're burning 1,600 calories every hour, then you could probably do that.
Dominic, and still to this day, this is Dominic Foxworth's metabolism.
Yeah.
There he is right there.
Not the guy sitting on his couch saying, hey, I can't believe you have all these channels.
Yeah.
Now for your entertainment, I would like to play Mike O'Mara's metabolism.
Dried
fruit. So we have on one end Dominic Foxworth and Mike O'Mara. That's the way it works.
So you're staying away from the prunes.
Dried fruit, not good. Peas and corn.
Ooh.
This I knew, because they're starches. They're not vegetables.
Rob Spiewak, with the bonus there.
They're
both considered a starch because of their high carbohydrate count, so you should count them as a carb like bread.
Exactly, and I can't eat corn anyway.
Like bread, Rob. You love bread.
I love bread. And that's what happened to you, Mike, and now look at Sal. He's dead, dead, dead.
39 years old, Dom. And he's dead, dead, dead.
Let me put a little of this jelly on that Nana made. It's got apricot and
you
pineapple.
You love bread. I like bread.
Quit putting hot peppers on my eggs.
Number three is granola. I knew this also from Mrs. O'Mara. Cereal usually has less calories than granola. Did you know that?
Really?
No, I do. Really? With even
Oscar, you eat those granola bars all the time, right?
Yeah, but if you eat too many of them, it's just like, you know, clearly the 100-calorie snacks become 1,000 calories if you eat 10 of them.
And again,
now, here's one that I didn't pay attention to because I've always heard the good fat, but avocados, these have the good fat, but you can easily consume hundreds of calories with a portion of guacamole.
Oh, guacamole?
Yeah, it's
guacamole can, put some weight on, of course, because I like it. Of course. I should have known, like, when I discovered that and I said to myself, healthy avocados, that I was just going to be loading myself with fatty crap.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with eating it on chips when it's prepared table side. I mean, if you just take a few thin slices of avocado and put them on a sandwich, I think you're probably okay.
I think you're okay
with that.
Who has
the time to do that, though?
I haven't
the time. Who has the time to cook?
Especially
number five
if you have avocado-sized doodads, Mike.
Hey, pony. How are those? Hey, how are them avocado-sized doodads? Number five, frozen yogurt.
Oh,
I've known
easy,
this. It can actually have more calories than ice cream. And number six, energy bars. They often have enough calories to be counted as a meal, which is sort of the point. They're not actually a snack. They're a meal.
Meal replacement
is what they're for. And number seven is anything that's gluten-free can also have sugar and calories in it.
Well, a lot of time, anytime they remove a certain ingredient, be it gluten or sugar-free, they often up like salt and other ingredients, and that's where it gets you. So
that's
the seven
foods you think are good for you that may not be, and that's the complete list, Rob.
So what you're saying, David, is that with that list, what you're saying is that if we just went through those seven items, we'd know entirely the foods to avoid.
Right, you are wrong, chlamydia ear.
Oh.
That is wrong.
So there's more.
I decided I would put a list of eight things together
that
you might want to just implement. These are not a list of foods, but these are things you could put into your daily life that I think would save the calories. In the long run, when you add it up, you got to look at a year plan.
Of course.
You got to look at an entire year plan and then add up the calories at the end of the year.
Sure. Is this an exclusive list or an inclusive list?
I would like to call this the O'Mara list.
Okay. Very good. T-O-L.
Because this first one comes from my old spinster aunts who raised my father, who lost his mother at a very young age.
Right.
He was raised by old maids in the great state of Maine and in New Haven, Connecticut by his spinster aunts. And the first tip comes from them.
Okay, what's the first item on the O'Mara list?
Try to butter your donuts every other day.
Well, you see, that's good.
God.
It's all about baby
steps.
They did,
Oscar, I swear to God, that
you
is not a joke.
You can put butter on donuts?
Yes. They buttered their donuts. They buttered their donuts. I am not exaggerating.
Well, Mike,
that's what they did.
I think it just moved.
Thank you, Rob. You ought to try it sometime. Seriously, get yourself a plain donut, not the glaze, not a sugar coated, but like one of those plain donuts,
a
like
cake
you can
donut,
get.
Yeah.
A cake donut, a plain cake donut, and heat it up and put a slab of butter on.
Never thought about it.
Well, you think
that.
About That's it, Oscar. Did. I mean, glaze is essentially based in butter, so if you're eating a glazed donut, it's just like a buttered donut. There's nothing so bad about it.
But butter seems just so much
nothing
worse.
Nothing so bad about it.
No, butter's
number
wonderful.
Two?
Yes.
Would you like number two?
I would.
Yeah. You'll have number two if you follow these things.
Okay.
If the cheese falls off the pizza, don't eat it alone. Place it carefully back on the pie and eat the cheese and the crust together. I know you're going to be tempted to eat the entire piece of cheese that is sloughed off the top of the crust, but put them back together because really then you're eating one food item and not two.
What you're doing here, this actually harkens back to one of your previous, Mike, the Mike O'Mara zone diet.
Exactly.
No cheese without bread.
Right. Yeah. And I call it fat zone. FATSONE. Fat zone.
Fat zone.
Number three. And this one I think can benefit a lot of people. And you can thank me later for this,
okay.
But I think people will like this. We've got a few of these down here in Florida, and I know you've got them in the D.C. area. When you go, which you will, to the frozen custard shop in your town, order a medium.
Of course.
Oh.
You don't need. You don't always need the large.
I mean, why not?
What
right?
about a small?
A small a-hole.
Yeah,
anyway, number four, when eating anywhere in the South or West at restaurant Papa Dough, you can eat the gator bites and the etouffee, but occasionally skip the sweet potato pecan pie with Haagen-Dazs ice cream.
Now, can you ever substitute?
Yes.
You can.
Yes, yes, you can. I mean, as a matter of fact, berries.
Yes.
Which, you know, I always thought that was a joke. I always laugh at my waiter when he comes over. Well, he looks at me, first of all, because every time I'm sitting at any kind of table, he will walk up and go, "Who wants dessert?"
I've seen this happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll happen to me. But, yeah, get the berries.
Okay.
Number five, only sweets after midnight. No salty.
That's-
you don't want to retain all that water.
Sure. And it really isn't every time that you take it after midnight, though, if you go back to the previous midnight?
Technically, I consider anything I eat after midnight to be just getting a head start on breakfast.
You are breaking your fast.
It's the next day.
Yes, it's the next day.
Getting exactly. getting a jump on tomorrow.
Right. Number six, and this is a rule for any of you kids that might be sliding into any kind of restaurant over the next couple of months. If it doesn't sound appealing, see if the chef can deep fry it.
Could you deep fry that, please?
You know, really, if it's something, oh, that's not my cup of tea. Well, it's really the only thing we're offering. Can you deep fry that?
For example, this harkens back to the previous list. What if you didn't want corn? If he deep fried the corn, then you'd have something.
Deep fried corn. You might have a problem with the whole Orville Redenbacher effect, though, you know, where it might cause excessive popping.
Is that a problem or is that perhaps an exciting new food revolution?
To me, it might be more surface area for the breading to adhere to.
That's right. And then we butter it.
A little more texture.
Number seven, if you put enough salt in your recipe, you won't have to use the shaker at the table. Oh,
does it
Hello?
Need salt?
No. I mean, come on. Really? I know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, number eight.
Yes.
Man does not live by bread alone. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why he invented butter. Start the show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
We were never allowed in the house in the summertime when I was a kid. I'd come home, I'd get off my bike. Mom, I'm home. Get out. Get out of the house. Walking around the house, marking up the woodwork. Get out and do something. Why don't you go out in the backyard and dig a hole? Why don't you dig to China? They were always having company coming over, you know, that was a big thing. We're having company tonight, so stay out of the bathroom. Stay out of that bathroom. We've got company coming over. Where are we supposed to go? I don't care. Just regulate yourself. Wait till they leave. Thanksgiving was another big day when we were kids, you know. We'd have the big turkey every year. Last year, the turkey weighed 185 pounds. It had a tattoo. Riding around the front lawn on a Harley. Took my sister hostage for 24 hours. My Uncle Zeke actually had to put on his flame-retardant pilgrim suit and subdue him with a flamethrower. He was always dressing up for Thanksgiving. One year, he dressed up as a butterball turkey. And my Aunt Rose couldn't stop talking about it. Oh, my God, look at Zeke dressing up like a butterball turkey. I can't believe it. Look at him sitting in that roasting pan wearing go-go boots. Pouring gravy on his torso with a big old ladle. He's going to get arrested for public self-basting. Just like he did last year. Look where he's got the thermometer.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, the best of O'Mara.
Ah, the French don't celebrate Thanksgiving. At least I think they don't. That's my tribute to Orson Welles. And happy Thanksgiving. I will not say happy Turkey Day because I believe people that say that should be stabbed in the eye with a knitting needle. But I want to say happy holiday to everybody and I hope you're enjoying time in the bosom of your family. So happy Thanksgiving from everybody at the Mike O'Mara Show. And don't forget, we're going to be back Monday with a brand new one. Well, I'm really, you know, I'm really pissed, believe it or not.
Why?
That guy reached out and just rained on Oscar's parade.
Government law.
Should we swing by his office and shake our fists?
No, he's clearly a listener of the show. And while he was very matter of fact about the entire thing, because it wasn't.
But that's the move that's not cool. Don't be matter of fact about saying, say, you know what, that thing you talked about for 20 minutes, yeah, you can't do it.
That's what they do, though. Yeah. That's what they do.
And it's fine.
But it's also a person that's listening to the show and is so miserable in his own pathetic, and I don't care how high-ranking you are, dick,
wow.
His own pathetic world of slogging in there as a GS whatever.
Yeah. Oh, apostrophe M.
That he's got to take this bright, shining star, the entrepreneurial spirit of our enterprise.
Just want to create jobs.
The man that gives me a good, solid 99.9% every day and then gives the rest to Todd Moore. This guy is busting his ass all the time for this show, and then this guy just decides, meh, well, you can't do it. Meh,
and how many times, Mike, how many times we were told that if we liked our drone, we could keep our drone?
Amen.
Yeah,
and
that's
now they're taking our drone away.
We
harumph,
promised.
Harumph.
And
I
don't
look at it as a, this is a guy, I mean, from my point of view, you've got a listener who's in a high-ranking position of influence. Isn't that kind of cool?
And
should
he be working
for us? Does that mean I should be nicer to him?
That's the way I look at it, Tony. I wrote back a nice email and said, look, if you could if you could direct me in the direction of getting a FAA certificate, I'd love for that.
Is that what you wrote? If you can get me in the
probably did.
Direction. Yeah.
You're so,
I'm not the best.
You're so level-headed. He takes all of his like negative energy that I would feel with a letter like that, mm-hmm. and he just brings it home.
Mm-hmm.
He gives it to his poor girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, that's
she's
on the receiving end of all that. No. She's the one that provided him with the drone.
When did you get the drone?
I've got about 40 flying hours under my belt.
Okay.
Now.
Jesus,
right.
Just got it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so I got it about 2 weeks ago. So
you
I
have 40 flying hours?
Easily, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
But you said that
you
Charlie
sleep?
Knows how to fly it better than you do.
Well, once you get over the fear of getting up in there and losing it,
right?
When someone shows you that, I had to watch a bunch of YouTube videos, read the manual. That's like the
see,
Old
he reads
Testament.
The instructions, which is
this
I'm
is
very proud.
Another
of.
Another difference between him and Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike would not be reading or watching YouTube.
I have two separate houses, and I've lost the deeds to both of them.
True story, Tony.
That is true.
He can't find them.
I mean, they're boxed up. They're boxed up and going down to
Florida. Due to a paperwork error, technically he's homeless.
Yeah. I don't that have a residence.
Sad.
I'm a man without a country.
How are you going to close on your house?
I get to do it. I already asked that question. It's already been taken care of. So there you go.
He's
fine. I have that paperwork right here on my computer where it's going to stay safe and sound.
There's no chance you have a cloud backup for that, dude.
No, of course not.
Nope. No. But I got a lot of things going on, you know. A lot of moving parts.
A lot of irons in the fire.
Hey, I'm looking forward to being a mini Oscar when I get down to Florida and poking holes and everything and
drilling,
doing some drilling.
Yep, sure.
I'm gonna buy one of those things that I actually bought him for Christmas. I'm gonna buy one of those drills that cuts the circular, places.
You remember you have to buy a drill and then that set.
That's
it doesn't
right.
work alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I have a power drill, so I think
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I've got a power drill that I was using just the other day to do.
He's misplaced it.
That is still in my home. You've used that drill.
I know I have. It's a
you
good
know
drill.
The drill I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know the drill.
You know the drill
you
that I'm talking about.
Drill.
Because that drill is. I love it when the caffeine kicks in. That drill. is in a suitcase with a label on it that says drill.
Oh, that's near also your toolbox that's labeled screwdrivers slash screws.
Yes. You don't have a box
but
or
that's
a drawer
organized.
It is.
That says deed?
No. No.
Nice one.
I cannot cop to
Bingo.
That. Because the fact is, I thought I had that. Yeah. I'm guilty about the Florida place, but as far as the local residents, I believe it was a remodel that cast that to the wind.
Now, true or false?
Yes.
You lost the deed after you burned the edges of it to make it look neat.
Old-timey.
Yeah, it looked very pretty.
That is the way it went down, unfortunately. I'm
sure
proud.
It'll turn up.
But listen, let's properly introduce our guest from Fox 5, the anchorman from Fox 5. You watch him every night here in Washington, D.C., and he is a classmate of mine. We've known each other for about 70 years. Mr. Tony Perkins is here.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony.
Is this the first time we have spoken with you since you went to the nighttime?
Yes, I believe last time I was with you, that transition was happening. Mm-hmm.
And this is the serious business, and my God, what an incredible time it's been, and not good in the news. I mean, there's been so much going on, and the very latest. I mean, how many stories? I mean, every night it's the Malaysia Airlines thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, here's the good part about our show, and I'm on at 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. I should say, Fox 5 in Washington.
Nice.
The Malaysian story, we do 2 minutes on it, which is and we do everything that we can to talk about it and all that kind of thing
in local news. That's a lifetime.
It's a lifetime.
It really is.
But you know what's amazing? I've been watching CNN. That's all they're doing. That's all they're doing.
I'm not the only one bitching about this because I've seen a lot of people that feel the same way. But we talked about it briefly. And I'm a news junkie. And maybe it's because of our whole thing at American University where you did the broadcast journalism program. I did. Look what happened to me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there you go.
You're a celebrity.
Yeah, that's right.
There are so many intangibles
but the
to play.
Degree, I have a, believe it or not, and this is funny, I have a degree in broadcast journalism. it's just funny that that's my degree, but I am a news junkie. Mm-hmm. So whenever I'm watching CNN and I hear breaking news and they come on with that music, I get sucked in every single time. And I don't know when they made that decision to call everything breaking news because it's a lie.
It's like a false alarm.
It doesn't work. And I'm watching this. And, of course, yesterday, the breaking news, and I guess it was 10 o'clock local time out there, 10 o'clock in the evening, when the Malaysian prime minister came out and we were waiting to hear what I thought would be, we have found floating wreckage in the South China Sea, South Indian Ocean, and you will see this. And here's a picture of. And he came out and gave a very unusual news conference where he was talking about a mathematical satellite formula with
secret technology.
With amazing technology.
Yeah. I don't need to use this in the vault. Would you like to hear a little bit of the Malaysian prime minister?
Yeah.
Because it's a weird
speech. It's a weird speech.
It was strange.
It's like Mad Libs.
And it's vague. It's very vague.
Very vague.
It is with deep sadness and regret that I must inform you that according to this new data, Light MH370 ended in the southern Indian Ocean.
Okay, so he said this flight ended. Now, if I'm those families, I'm out of my mind even more. This is why they're attacking people. This is why they're spending. Because there is not one single solitary piece of hard evidence outside of this theory that this plane went down. I don't doubt that they have irrefutable evidence from these eggheads that maybe it's true. But that was pretty thin to have without a seat floating in the Indian Ocean.
Right.
And it just I totally empathize with those
families.
That's
why people are so angry. That's why they're so angry.
How would you feel if they handled it, say, the way they did in World War II, if each family had been contacted personally, even if it had been vaguely like that? And then they made the press conference.
Well, they had a meeting with the families before.
They did. Okay.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. They texted them before.
Texting?
Yeah, they texted them and told them, here's what we're going to say, that essentially your families are gone.
Wow.
They're dead.
And then fast forward to today, and as we tape this show on Tuesday, March 25th, and as we're taping this show, the very latest is weather conditions are prohibiting the people from searching for
the debris.
Again. Right.
It is just, I mean, I know you have to have a tremendous amount of faith, I would think, in the powers that be that have not demonstrated total competence throughout this whole process. You've got to have a tremendous amount of faith to go along with what they're saying. Not once again, not that I'm saying I believe that the plane is really not lost. It probably is.
It probably
but at the
is.
Same time, it would be maddening for those poor people that are dealing with
this.
You want
some kind of closure, and that didn't provide the closure because there's nothing behind it. Essentially what they were saying, and I saw someone, I think, on CNN say, essentially what this is about is trying to get the families out of the hotels and back home and moving this along.
Oh, I hope not. So that sucks if that's the case.
Also, this doesn't lend – one, I can't believe the airline industry hasn't up in arms because – if you are in the business of making planes, especially Boeing, right?
Sure.
You're going out of your way to really take this story, and you want to spin it the best way possible so you can say you're safe flying on our plane.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be a side of that that I think isn't being addressed. And the other side, all these conspiracy theorists out there, I mean, what would Jesse the Body Ventura say? I mean, well, he's probably going crazy.
It's not even on the Earth's surface. And incidentally, don't be confused by the black hole theory.
Right.
It's not a black hole. You couldn't get a black hole. You couldn't get a 777 into space, but you could get it into a hangar in Barstow, California.
Do you have untold sources that are telling you what's really happening?
I was down in my Airstream in Baja, and they said it's been abducted. That's where we went. With it, for God's sakes.
But without anything concrete.
Yes.
You almost make sense, Jesse.
I know. You know, it's so strange.
I'd rather hear that than what I heard on that tape.
It's just, and imagine, you know, if you will, if you're a family member hearing
tragic.
That. And it goes on and on
We know that every day that goes by, the likelihood is that it crashed into the ocean. And may not be found for quite some time.
Right.
But you still, if you're going to hear that kind of pronouncement, you want to know, here's why we're saying it, because we found the fuselage or something.
And
you didn't get that.
And is there, I mean, I would imagine there might be a possibility they would never find that.
There's that possibility.
With the conditions that they're talking about in the ocean.
And as every day goes on, it gets worse and worse. No. My thought is that the reason they are definitive is that they have some evidence, but the way they've captured the evidence is a way they don't want us to know they have.
Well,
some sort of secret satellite or something.
Well, apparently it was Oscar's drone.
Oh, yeah. That's the end of that.
It's quite the range.
You know, ultimately, I think because of, how we, our pop culture and our movies and television and everything we watch, we seem to give our fellow human beings more credit than we really should.
You think?
Because it seems like, well, there's no way that, well, there is a way. It's a giant ocean. Yeah. We're tiny little specks on this planet. Yep. And, you know, I was watching a heavy jet, might have been a 777, might have been one of the big Airbuses, or it actually might have been a 747 flying into Dulles yesterday. And I pointed up to my wife. I said, look at that thing. I mean, very possible. Look, it's off in the distance. How, you could lose a plane. It can happen. And I think we have to accept that reality.
Over the past, especially like 10 or 15 years, we've all emphasized how small the world is because, everybody is just a text away.
Yeah.
But when you realize there's still huge, vast expanses of ocean that because of weather, we can't access it.
Right.
And
right.
we just see that now. And it's sort of a sobering thought that we're not always aware
of. Can I ask you a quick question, though?
Sure. Yeah,
because I think about this every day. How blown away would you be and how psyched would you be and just freaked out if all of a sudden, like if you're out watching planes land at Dulles Airport, if this Malaysian jet 370 just appeared out of the clouds, came in and landed.
And then they're waving flags out
there. Yeah, wouldn't it be bizarre? And there's a part of me that wants that to happen and thinks maybe that'll happen.
Oh, yeah.
And they land at National and their luggage is lost.
And you run up to the window and you look
in
the window
mad.
And it's not the pilot flying it either.
Right.
It's Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson.
The best of O'Mara.
Hey, hope you're enjoying your Thanksgiving at grandmother's house, but if you're sleeping over, you're going to be on one of those old mattresses that make your back feel eh. How about giving yourself this year the ultimate gift, the gift of feeling better by sleeping better? People who sleep better feel better, you know that, and Sleep Number's Sleep IQ technology teaches you how to do just that. Remember, a Sleep Number store is the only place you will find the Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology. And now, the all-new Sleep Number beds are available with Sleep IQ technology. It's the ultimate Sleep Number week, and it's a great time to visit your Sleep Number store for amazing savings. In fact, queen mattresses are now starting at just $599. I really want you to love your Sleep Number like I love my Sleep Number. My setting is an 80, Carlos is an 85, and for one one week only, come in and save 50% on a Sleep Number Ultimate Limited Edition bed. See why Sleep Number was named Best of 2014 by a leading consumer magazine. Find your Sleep Number setting today only at one of the 450 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. Again, that's 800-511-0061. And don't forget to tell them to pass the cranberry sauce. No, I'm sorry. Tell them Mike O'Mara sent you.
So I thought about that. Mm-hmm. And so then I went to Google like everybody else does. And I said, numbness, a creeping up arm.
Did you say glass?
Search.
Did you do it with your glasses?
No, I didn't have glass on.
Okay. Just
search.
Checking.
And then the first thing that comes up is MS. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't have time for MS.
Yeah.
Too busy.
Mike,
too busy.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I decline your diagnosis of multiple sclerosis because I've got a very full docket.
So you're in the meeting when they have the coffee?
No, yeah, I'm in the meeting when they're having the coffee.
And this is after the numbness.
No, this is after the meeting where the numbness starts.
After the okay.
Yeah, on his way to Panera.
At least to get the meeting out of the way. It's an important meeting for the show.
Attaboy. Yeah.
Thank you.
So the meeting's over. I'm eating. I can now not physically lift my arm. So I start eating with my left hand. I'm not really left-handed.
And you're calm?
Well, again, I don't want to be the guy that goes to the ER for anything, you know?
I understand, but that to me would be something. Besides, where you're stroking out.
How would he sign the paperwork at the ER? He can't use his dominant arm.
All right, Shecky.
So I start doing a breathing exercises to calm down. I do the math in my head.
This?
I really
through the nose, out the mouth?
Yes. I start just really trying to concentrate on my breathing. And I'm not eating at this time, and I'm sure the two young ladies across the way that were across from me in Panera, they're like, this guy is having a situation.
So you're breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth like that?
Yes.
So you're sitting in a chair in this little coffee shop.
I didn't want to hyperventilate. Basically.
And you're going, pier. And did they notice that you were, did you appear to be in distress?
No, I didn't want
to. This worries me, man.
I didn't want to. I'm 35. I mean, nothing can happen. I'm bulletproof.
I know you're 35, but it's like all the same crap that we've all gone through in this business.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time you're in a world where I would hope that this is not like, you know, we always pride ourselves. Yes, we have to, you know, we have to come in here and perform every day, but this ain't like the old radio biz, right? We're trying to make our own thing. I don't want you to let the stress get to you.
No,
and I know you work hard.
Yeah, but it's not about that. It's
about the chemicals, Mike. It's not a stress.
Yeah, but the week was also just jam-packed.
It was a big week.
It's been a big week. It worries me when, you know, if you're sitting there in a coffee shop and you're, you know, like stroking out and not going to the doctor, that's kind of weird.
So I say to myself, it's been 20 minutes. Now my arm is, my full arm, forearm, and hand is numb, like almost asleep.
Okay, so is it tingly or just dead?
It's tingly, but it's almost dead as well. So I'm like, oh, here we go. So
you're sure this is the caffeine as this is happening?
I'm already thinking. I was like, I've never had 4 cups of coffee in a 10-hour
energy. Okay, so
this
you kind of, and that maybe calms you because you
and
know
I
what
hadn't
it is.
Eaten anything.
You start drinking water?
I went right back to the Acai berry unsweetened tea. 4 cups of that.
Tea!
Unsweetened.
It's not uncaffeinated.
Well, if it's Acai berry
tea.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, oh, my God. That's a caffeinated beverage. You went to Acai berry tea. You have ingested another stimulant.
4 cups.
Oh, my God.
I pounded them. Oh, no. I thought I was dehydrated.
It's tea. Tea keeps me up half the night when I drink tea.
Dummy.
He is a dummy. He's a mallet head. Smart about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Really dumb about a lot of things,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So you didn't feel any better, I would assume.
No.
No.
Were you able to drive your car home?
So I didn't even get to the car yet.
Okay.
I was like, if I get to the car, you know, it's a win.
Right. So,
yeah, big victory.
I called my brother because I knew if I called my sister, I would be judged.
And you'd be lectured.
I'd be judged, right? She's the oldest. Mm-hmm. And I say, I'll call my brother, the anesthesiologist.
Right.
No answer.
They never answer when you're like in medical distress, when you're trying to get your free medical advice.
Call my sister.
Right.
Answers.
Okay.
She only answered because of another reason that I will tell you in just a moment.
Yeah,
do you feel a little disappointed that she answers? Or are you
panicked?
No.
Because the next call was 911.
Yeah, you're panicked.
Okay.
The next call was 911.
Right.
I'm not going to call them for dumb things. Right.
Okay.
I'm going to call them for scripts.
I hope she told I hope she told you to back off on the
I call. I said, look, don't be alarmed, but I've got a situation here. My soup's getting cold.
Because I can't eat it because my arm's dead.
Yes. Right, I got the dead arm.
So we went through the day, and she said, you clearly are overdosing. You've overdosed on caffeine. It's happening right now. You have to, she goes, what's in front of you? I said, French onion soup, the grilled chicken sandwiches. Order another French onion soup. You have to fill your stomach with as much grease as possible.
Like grease?
The greasy or food or something.
Food, something. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Do you have an appetite at this point?
No.
Oh, so you're feeling, you're OD.
That's the nausea, which is a symptom of the OD.
Right. Yeah. So I kill the soup, and I'm still on the phone with her while she's talking on the speakerphone. She's like, okay, now order another one.
You in your car? You're
yes.
doing this?
No. I'm in Panera.
Oh, you're
Panera.
In the store. Yeah, yes. in the store. Right.
He's still in the triage.
Yes.
You're in Panera. You haven't gotten to the car.
Yeah. And not for nothing, 15 minutes later, after I kill the soup and then I start with my next one, I'm feeling better.
Because you're getting it.
Isn't that wild?
You're watering it down. What am I saying? You're dissolving it. What's the
word?
You're
diluting it.
You're diluting it.
Yes.
But
that's
you know what's
word.
Crazy
Thank you, Rob.
Is that if he went to Panera and bought two bowls of soup, it would have been cheaper to go to the ER.
Yeah. The copay. The copay is much cheaper than having two bowls of soup at Panera.
I hate Panera.
Again, I love Panera.
I'm not a fan either. Maybe that's a fat, skinny thing.
Yeah, so portions tiny. Yeah. Bill big.
And then my sister starts going into the whole thing, like, what are you doing to yourself?
Red Bull.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
She starts lecturing me, right?
Yes.
Which dovetails into, okay, now that you're not dying.
Yes.
Did you get my text? And this is, and mind you that I am 35 years old.
Yes.
I am a grown man.
Bravo.
That doesn't know that tea has caffeine in it. Apparently.
That's right. But you do now. And that's what we do.
Now I know.
That's why you work with a man 20 years your senior. So you can find things out like
During the day at 11:54 a.m., we were doing the bonus show.
That's right. We were finishing up the
second. We were working. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Working because I work for a living.
Yeah. And Thursday
I actually do things.
Yeah. We record too. Yes. And, we've had conference calls and, it's been a busier than normal week.
Busy week.
Yeah. Normally we have we skate through a week. We have a great time and, a lot of free time on our hands. Not the case this week.
The reason why my sister answered, she doesn't usually answer, is because at 11:54 a.m. she had texted me.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably thought I was calling her back on this text.
Regarding the text. And
yes.
You have the text.
Not my health. Yes.
You have the text?
She says, can you come with us to Beverly Hills from 12:14 to 12:21?
Do you want to let the cat out of the bag about the whole Beverly Hills thing that your sister?
They're moving.
They're moving. They're actually.
Wow.
The hubby got a great gig.
Cedar Sinai.
And this is Jose.
No, this is Costa.
This is Costa.
Yes.
Costa got a great gig out at Cedar Sinai, and he's going to be moving to Beverly.
Good for him.
Yeah. So they're awesome. So they're house hunting out, believe it or not, in Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Because he's going to be a big muckety muck doctor in Beverly Hills, everybody.
Crazy.
Hopefully he can help book guests. I don't know how that works. But regardless, they're moving, right? They're moving in 4 months from Pittsburgh to Beverly Hills. I see this text. I get I get fired up because what I realize is this, is that she needs kid care.
Oh, so she wants you to come along as a manny.
So what was the gist of the text that she sent you?
That was the gist. That was it.
We're moving. We're house hunting. Can
Pretty
you come
please,
out?
With sugar on top. We'll pay for the ticket and the stay.
So they want you to watch the kids while they hunt the house.
I know this.
They want you to be a nanny.
A manny.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does she know that you, I mean, I know it's
that
a
you
podcast,
have a job,
but yeah. Does she know you have a work?
When I got the text, we were wrapping up the show. So I got a little fired up, right? And basically this is the equivalent of her coming to my home, spitting on my floor.
That's not that bad.
In my eyes, yes. And then what I realize is all this love and affection I get in Christmas or I get maybe on a phone call.
She's been real nice to you lately?
Yes.
Been setting you up to do this?
Yes!
Oh, that sucks.
This is Katie, and I would love it if you listened to the Cake and Cookies show. No, really, please listen. I need an actual reason for spending all this time with Rob. Nobody really wants to spend time with Rob, but I'm fun enough for both of us. Listen to Cake and Cookies. You'll love half of it. My half. Every Wednesday at MikeO'MaraShow.com, part of the More Network.
The best of O'Mara.
Well, hail, hail, the gang's all here, and we are delighted to have you with us again on the Mike O'Mara Show. It's another day, another doctor for you.
No.
Now, when you said that you're falling apart, do you blame the fact that you are at an advanced age, or is it Florida that's actually doing it to you?
I have no. This is the first time in my life that I have had this much pain, and I had no idea. Now I have a vague idea of what it was. The only thing I purchased when I came down here to South Florida, and Oscar remembers those foo-foo, like girly-girly dining room chairs that I've used to do a broadcast.
Sure.
Well, those foo-foo, wicker, rattan, whatever they are, little cheapo chairs, yes. I never had this problem with them. I rolled out to the little, office Hal's to buy a decent little office chair.
Was Hal there?
And, it's like I think they should have said we've got the soft Vinnie model over here, and we've got the Tony model here. And have you tried the new Femur Buster?
Oh,
this is the Femur Buster chair that we have for you. And so the only thing, there are two things that were at play here. You know, I drove that 22-foot box truck down from Florida, from Virginia down to Florida. But the only when I got into that truck, the right side of the bench seat was mashed down, and the left-hand side was, like, all the way up. And I drove that for 14, 15 hours.
I thought you were going to say, when you got in, the left side of the truck started to sag.
No. The right side.
I know. That's way over the line.
That's not nice.
That is.
Yeah, and incidentally, the way that T-shirt looks on you, pal, with high definition.
Tell me.
I would tell you, you're nobody to talk. I swear, I'm ready to do a C-section right now.
Oh, but wow. Anyway.
Hey, I want to tell you.
You give birth to something diseased. I'm not sure what it is, but it likes corn.
Congratulations. You've given birth to an 8-pound, 6-ounce baby honey bun. But anyway.
So you had the big drive in an uncomfortable vehicle.
Okay, so I get in this thing, and the bench seat is low on the right side, and it's elevated on the left. Like somebody was... Maybe some big guy was sitting in the middle and he crushed it all down. So my left cheek, all 14 hours in the box truck, was sort of skewed up left.
That will
then
do
I
it.
Get down and I get this this office chair, and it's, you know, I only found out when Jimmy was here on Thursday. I'm pressing down with my thumb right where the pain is, and there's this metal rod that comes out. Yeah. It's a support thing. It's where the armrest is connected. Let me show you. Right. Hold on a second.
Sounds amazing.
Mike is going to go and get the Femur Buster.
A nice sturdy chair.
Now, was it the Femur Buster 2000 or was it the original Femur Buster?
Can you see the Femur Buster here?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, pull it over. Oh, there we go. It looks
it's
nice.
Very space
very
age.
Very stylish. Wow. Okay, yeah, see it? Look, he's going to hurt himself.
He is.
Oh, my God.
You shouldn't be picking
chair.
That up.
All right, he's so got that.
Part, yeah.
Yeah, we can see it. The right side.
Metal.
Right side of
Mike,
the chair.
Mike, that really looks like it was real. What are you doing?
He just hurt himself. He just stubbed his toe. There you go.
Well, that's what happens when you pick a chair up with one hand like that.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh.
Sit down, Mothra.
That's Cappy's voice you can hear, Cappy.
No, that's
Cappy who brings
that's Pony.
A certain sensibility and sympathy and empathy to this show that it really is inappropriate.
Slapping our knee.
What was it that drew you to the chair? The fact that it looks like it was repurposed from O'Hare Airport? It looks really a chair that you would be in a row bolted down in a 1970s airport.
Doesn't it seriously look like Dean Martin ought to be sitting there with Jacqueline Bisset getting ready for their flight?
Yeah, now it's Mike O'Mara's Matt Helm movie.
Stylish. Mike, maybe they have those here for the studio. Those do look snazzy.
Yeah can you mail it up to us?
They're very nice. There's a name for it. It's a standard chair. You see it on certain television shows. That's why I bought it.
Charlie Rose.
No, I bought it because it didn't have all that BS padding on it, and I was foolish because it didn't work. Yeah, now, for years, the chairs that you guys have, the ones we had in the old studio.
$100 a piece.
That I should have brought down here.
You should have.
We're perfect. This was $125. This wasn't that expensive.
Did you save the receipt?
Well, they've got me in the system, so I'm taking it back.
Receipts.
And I'm
that thing will be rot there for the next 5 years.
Yeah, you know what, pal? Okay, you know what? You know, Mr. Wait for Comcast all day? I'm going to tell you this.
Yes.
I'm going to bring this chair back in tomorrow.
You are?
Really?
To the office supply store that opens up at 12 noon, which is up here, which I filed up here because I've been going to the office supply store so much, getting the studio ready. It was
Is your phone on?
Right now. No, sure. I don't think it is.
No, it's vibrating. No. It's vibrating.
Good
right
call. Good call.
Hold it to your hip. Maybe it'll make it feel better. That's not funny.
That is funny.
You know what's great about this? You know when we knew this worked, Rob, that you can see this. That I'm looking right at you right now, and you can see this.
Yeah, I think I'm going to crawl into the console.
Who's calling? Is it Carla?
You can see the way this works.
No, it's actually the office supply store. They say no returns.
Yeah, we're actually open at 11.
And it's store credit only.
So anyhow,
2,000 post-its.
The pain of this, the only thing that I think was comparable to this is, Rob remembers, Oscar, you didn't work with me then when I, I'd come in like every 3 weeks or so, and Rob would say I looked like Fred Sanford.
Yeah, you walked
because I was walking down the hallway and I was stilted, debilitated with back pain.
And what would happen if I can describe it, Mike? What would happen is your right leg would go in front of you with your right foot pointed out. And then it would stop haltingly, and then you'd drag your left foot to catch up. It almost looked like a badly designed walking robot, where the walking software was almost right. I watched it last night. You walked like Kevin Spacey in The Usual Suspects.
Great call.
Here comes verbal.
Well, this thing was acute as anything I have ever dealt with.
So cute.
I don't know where it came from, and so cute. And it was so painful that I just didn't get a lot of sleep, and that's the worst thing in the world. When you know you're really in pain when you can't sleep at night.
Right. Mm.
And so I told you about the doctor whose face I farted in the other day.
Yes.
And he put me on an anti-inflammatory, and that didn't. I mean, I've never taken
to
stuff
stop
like
your
that.
Farting?
No, not to stop my
Great
farting.
Question,
Thank
Kevin.
You very
much. Nice
you know what she's getting? Send her back today. After today, send her back to California, will you please?
No, I think she's doing great.
It's already scheduled.
But anyhow,
she's coming to you.
The guy, after this happened, he gave me anti-inflammatories, didn't do anything, and he said, if that doesn't work, we'll schedule you with this guy that apparently flies in from the Midwest.
Does he wear a cape?
This doctor. Dr. Slick, who flies in for the Midwest. So he said, and you can make an appointment. He's here tomorrow.
Oh.
So if it continues, you can make an appointment. Well, I've dealt with enough. I'm falling apart enough where I know how to deal with doctors. And I make the appointment like 5 minutes later with this because I know I'm not going to feel better. And it was right. So I wake up in the morning, still in a lot of pain, and I roll out to this orthopedic guy.
Right.
And the orthopedic guy comes in. And Rob,
yes.
I swear to God.
Did you actually see him fly in?
No.
Oh, okay.
The celebrity he most resembled,
yes.
I am not exaggerating, a young, extremely tan Mel Brooks.
Oh, no.
Nice.
So the young, good-looking Mel Brooks.
The young, good-looking Mel Brooks.
Like what the Mel Brooks that would like do.
But
like
here's how you know.
Like the Dick Cavett
Show. This is how you know you've got the good doctor.
Yes.
He comes in the sport coat and tie. You know,
oh, that's good.
No doctor's coat. You know, he's there. Hello, how are you? And so Carla was having a problem with her knee, and we got like the family package appointment where it was the one-stop shop. And he walks in and goes, O'Mara family. Because the baby's in there too.
Oh, my God.
And I'd had x-rays the day before, and I don't know what the hell is going on. They ruled out anything really serious.
I know
serious.
What it is. And,
what is
and,
it?
And you're going to think this is mean, but it's simply, I come from a medical family. So
okay, first of all, you have to take that back. That's like me saying I come from a family of teachers. I do, but I'm an idiot.
Too. I use it too because I also come from a medical family, so I use it too.
Yeah.
Oscar and I are both. Some people in our family tree have succeeded in med school.
They have.
Yeah, Oscar. The reason you're a medical family is because you're constantly like you're killing yourself.
I am.
That's why you're on the other side.
Well, I've got
of it.
Four doctors that are once they're in like in my family, my immediate family.
All
so
right.
I would say that counts for something.
Sure.
You
I have skinny people in my.
You don't live that active of a lifestyle. And this past week has been so active with the move and the moving in and the setting up of the studio and people coming into town. All that in itself, if you don't...
You have something on your nose, Mike?
If you're not used to that, Mike, if you're not used to that, then...
That's not what caused the injury, Oscar.
Well... Someone would say if you're in shape and you lifted the chair or you had a bad ride in the car, you wouldn't be as affected from kind of an ill bench or like a bench.
An
that
ill bench,
a bench
Mike.
That doesn't sit right or
there
a chair
is
that
no
doesn't...
one that would like to agree with you more yes. ass than me, but I will tell you. I will tell you that the very thing that caused the injury was the sedentary nature of what I do, where we were sitting in that chair. You know, you guys realize we have been doing the shows this week but we've also been tweaking, and so
lots of time.
We've all been like in place to do the show for probably 3 hours at a time, which, you know, you might say, well, that's a normal broadcast. Well, yeah, but I mean, sitting, you're normally up and down, and we've just been adjusting levels, sitting in that chair. So I think the fact that I was sedentary is what caused the problem.
Do you recall who built the box truck? What manufacturer?
International Harvester.
The fact is they can't build a seat. That's what really got you started in it. Because even if
Do you speak from experience with that one?
Do you know when I bought my second Caprice of the three, that grand trilogy of automobiles? It was a it was the chief of police's car from Gaithersburg, Maryland.
We've heard this. Yes, no one cares about the chief of police from Gaithersburg, Maryland.
But
I remember the seat, though.
He was obviously a larger man. Yes. Because when I looked at the car, it looked like it was in perfect condition.
Yes.
But when I'd sit in the seat, it would twist. And I said, oh, you know what? There's something broken in the seat. So I replaced the seat. And
the entire seat?
Well, yeah, because they were bucket seats. Jeez. I could replace one seat.
Okay.
And
I remember
still
this
twisting.
Seat. It looks like, seriously, the late John Panette was camping out there.
That
terrible a seat.
What I realized after I one Saturday woke up and could not get out of bed because my back was so screwed up, I pulled back the plastic because it didn't even have carpeting. It had a rubber mat on the bottom.
It had no support.
What happened is the back right connection where the seat was bolted down, the floorboard of the car had ripped. So anytime someone sat in the seat, it twisted back into the right. And when you sit in a crooked chair for any amount of time, your back is constantly trying to compensate. And that's probably your hip was trying to compensate for the bad International Harvester seat. And that, coupled with the femur buster, is why you're walking like a man of 80.
Are you back now?
Whatever,
what happened?
Not 100%. He said to 3 days that I would be 100%. I'm 50% better than I was
Did
yesterday.
Did you explain that you haven't been 100% in 20 years?
I haven't been. I'll never be 100%.
Is Carla feeling better?
I've accepted that reality. No, she is not. She did not get any real help.
Oh.
She's scheduled next week for an MRI because she's got some sort of ligament issue in her knee, and that's been going on. But, you know, Carla walks 5 miles a day, so I think that's probably her dilemma that she's got.
Yes.
So he comes in, and she only deals with the fact that I've been diagnosed. I said to Carla walking in, I said, there are two things that are going to go on here. He is going to tell me what I have to do, that it's going to go away quickly, or he's going to give me a cortisone shot, and that's the only thing that's going to make me happy. Anything else is not going to be a pleasant experience.
Right.
When he said that I needed the cortisone shot, it was like hearing a wonderful, wonderful piece of news, because I know...
Chorus of Angels.
Playing, well, yeah, because, you know, the fact is, I know based on, you know, playing hockey, that when you hear cortisone, it's like your pain will float away.
Right.
In time. I also know that the delivery method for a cortisone shot, for anybody that's ever gotten one, is, you know, is not exactly the most pleasant experience in the world.
Now,
so.
Explain that, because I'm being totally sedentary, have never required cortisone of any sort. Why is it painful? Is it the needle that hurts? Is it the stuff going in that hurts?
Let me explain what a cortisone shot does, Mr. Spiewak.
Thank you, Mike.
Gotten, in my lifetime, I've gotten... a couple. Let's call it 8.
All right. I'd like for you, Mike, please speak simply and clearly, because I do not come from a medical family.
Thank you.
I have gotten cortisone shots in my shoulders multiple times.
Okay.
And
but that's after you had Tommy John surgery.
That's yeah, when I was pitching in the Brewers organization.
Oh, it was
the only team I wanted to pitch for.
But you never got called up to the big dance. You were always a double-A Brewers ball, right?
This is true. And, it's when they used to call me Switch.
I remember.
Not based on my batting, based on my lifestyle outside of the
That's
batting.
Right. That's right. We're going to have to let you go, son.
Yep. I'm sorry. It just seems that if you want to hang with women and men. But anyway, so.
It was a different time then, Mike.
It was.
Not your fault.
Years ago.
It was the 80s, the go-go 80s.
It was.
And I'm talking about the early 80s, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love that street in Milwaukee. They always knew when Switch was out. But anyway.
When you head down to the block.
Jesus. Am I ever going to get to the point of this story?
I'm sorry.
So, where the hell was I? I totally
Tommy
lost
John
track
surgery.
You were explaining the cortisone shots.
So, they give me the cortisone shots in the shoulder, and the worst one I ever got was in the elbow, and I will tell you why they hurt. Because what a cortisone shot does, Rob, it's not like getting a shot for allergies or getting a vaccination. A cortisone shot is a needle that delivers a numbing agent to the actual muscle or joint that is inflamed.
Okay.
And I'm talking about inside of it. So if you have what I have, which is called bursitis,
yes,
in the upper part of my leg, he took the needle and he, I'll take you through the whole process.
Good.
Okay. He says, you, sir, are going to get a cortisone shot. I'm going to need you to remove your pants. You can leave your boxer shorts on and get up on this table and face the wall. At this point, believe it or not, maybe it was because of the previous day, but I begin nervously to experience the same sensation that I had in the previous doctor's office. And I shared that with Carla.
A pressure?
And she said, I could easily... have done that, but I'm not going to this time. I'm in control today.
Good, because if you did that, you would have to remove your boxer shorts.
I was not doing that to the young, comedian. I wasn't going to do that.
Dr. Brooks comes in and says, did someone bring some kind of sandwich?
Yeah. So,
see, you've had breakfast.
He asks me to remove my... I was wearing my Florida shorts. He asked me to remove my shorts, get up on the table, and face the wall. At this point, because I'm an idiot, I am confused by the instruction. I said, do you want me just to lean up against the table and lift my leg up?
Oh.
And he looked at me like, what kind of idiot? No, I mean, get up on the table and face the wall. I just got totally turned around because I'm nervous because suddenly the procedure is going to begin.
And you know
and that's, of course, where in the corner I hear my lovely, supportive wife go like this.
Oh, laugh at you? Thanks, buddy.
Oh, Carla's my favorite.
She's just sitting. Well, I realize really one of the primary reasons Carla is with me. I'm a very good father, and that's one.
Right.
But the other reason is that I am just a nonstop font of comedic energy for her, where she laughs at me because I am such a doddering idiot.
And one would think with years of radio experience and all your funny voices, that's right. Where the comedy comes from.
No,
really,
no, it's when Mike screws up. That's what
they
it's
love. That
be.
They love. So, now, the instructions, though, to be fair, are unclear. Does he want you on all fours?
Oh yeah.
Does he want you?
slow down.
You relax.
Behave yourself.
I just tasted a little of dinner last night.
Wow. <that's, laughs>
Did the doctor have his pants down, too?
Okay, all right. On that note, Ms. Pfeiffer, we are going to break for commercial.
Fate up against a windmill through the thick and thin. He will wait until
the best of O'Mara.
The doctor tells me to get up on the table, face the wall with my boxer shorts, and I guess the boxer shorts. It's right up in my lower buttock. That's where the needle's going to go in.
Your left buttock?
My left buttock. And so
do you have a favorite
powder.
Of yours? Do you prefer the left or the right? Do you have a favorite buttock?
Oh, I definitely prefer my left.
Yeah?
Well, my right side, and that's the thing that made this injury so unusual. My right side is where my body has chosen to fall apart. Most people that are older will tell you, you have a good side and a bad side.
Well, everybody has that. It just becomes more pronounced as you get older.
True.
Thank you, Oscar. So
he comes from a medical family.
That is true.
That meanwhile, he's having a stroke from caffeine at the
restaurant. The problem is, I get up on the table and I'm facing the wall. And it goes, and then it just the time starts, and I don't know where the guy's. Maybe he's off like reviewing the latest Road Company of the producers. I don't know. I don't know what he's up to.
Hello, Nathan. This is the doctor. Listen, I've got this guy on the table, so I can't talk. But
do you know how certain doctors? And he's competent. I will tell you this: he's a good guy. You know immediately. Because he's a little longer in the tooth than the other guys. He's and especially with orthopedic guys. There's a swagger to orthopedic surgeons that I like to have. So you know he's good. But also you know immediately there's no way you're going to be A, his equal, or B, ever his buddy.
No.
He comes from a position up here and he's just like, hello, O'Mara family.
Yeah.
Okay. You got a bursitis. So take care of that.
You want it?
Okay,
what you want to
right
find?
I'll be right back with you, cortisone.
You got to find the doctor that balances the God complex the best possible way because they need some of it to be a good doctor. But what you don't want
a buddy. If a doctor walked in, it's like, well, hi, how are you? Maybe we could get together and have like a sandwich sometime. Yeah. Then I'd be out of his office. I'd run out of his office.
Do you like hot chocolate?
It's 100 degrees outside.
Let's have tea. It's a beautiful day outside. Would you like to have lunch with me?
We're all going to see the Easter Bunny.
That would scare me.
Yeah, I agree.
So I wait on the table, buttocks facing my wife and son, for what seemed to be about 10 minutes. And, in the condition I'm in, and this is another, for anybody that's ever had a back issue or a leg issue, you know, there's not a medical table. You know, they're not like Sleep Number beds, for God's sake.
No,
they
got to get up in them.
They're a board, and you sit there, and I'm waiting.
Is there paper on it?
What's that?
Did he put the paper on it?
Yeah, it's got the paper pulled across it.
I hate the paper.
And of course, you know, and I get off the paper, and it looks like seriously, like it's one of those bags that they hold fried chicken in,
because it's greasy.
Yeah, because I just shredded the paper with my body perspiration. You know,
You know what? That probably happens to everyone.
Yeah,
that
sure.
paper is so thin, you can just sit on it and just, even if you had dry skin and you were completely covered in ash, you would destroy that paper.
It's the worst
paper. Just this little area that looks like it's a little tornado happened right in the middle of the crack. Paper.
Well, you know, you got to change the paper as soon as it gets clear. That's when they pull it off the roll and they crinkle it up.
I'm the only one that will ever describe the paper on a medical table looking like something that held a paper bag containing fried chicken. Homer Simpson's fried chicken.
That's when it's best. It's best when it's clear.
Oh, God. So he comes in. I'm not seeing anything. I feel him poking around. He says, "That's the spot."
Now,
that's
Mike, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but you are still.
That's what you do, Rob, and especially when Cappy's in the studio. I'm used to you doing it 50 to 60 times per second.
But you still haven't described your actual position.
Oh yeah,
I am on my side with my face facing the wall.
Understood.
The medical table is against the wall, and I am on my right side with my left cheek.
Exposed.
Up in the air. It is not exposed.
Oh,
I'm wearing boxers.
Sorry.
As he comes in, he tries to go through the leg hole first, realizing that that journey is going to be shortchanged, or he's going to stop all of the blood flow to my lower extremities.
Not enough give in the fabric.
He goes from the top down, and that again, when he goes from the top down, he pulls the boxers down a little bit, and that's where I'm thinking, please don't. Please don't do what you did yesterday.
Yeah.
Please don't do what you did. Not that I don't, it's not like I have uncontrolled flatulence. I can control it. I just, it was an anomaly yesterday, the day before with the other doctor.
It wasn't even on the chart.
So I'm facing the wall. And at this point, Carla, I'm dealing with Carla hearing sound. I heard it when she laughed at me. And then I hear this sound. This is obviously you hear the paper, like he's getting out some sort of needle, syringe. And I hear Carla go, "Oh." That's what I hear.
Oh,
that's
no.
When I'm facing the wall. And I hear Carla go, "Oh." And I know what that, she is seeing, you know, she's not been in a lot of doctor's offices. She's seeing the needle.
Yeah.
Cartoon
but
size.
I see nothing. I see nothing. He said, "All right, this is going to be a little uncomfortable."
Oh,
I've heard that before, too. And what a cortisone shot is, Rob, is let's say your average needle is about that big.
Sure.
Your cortisone shot needle is going to be that big because they are taking the needle and they are delivering the medicine to the inflamed muscle or joint, and they're going right into the muscle.
So you're saying that the needle itself is about 4 inches in length, and I'm guessing when a needle gets that long, it actually has to be thicker as well, so it has the strength, because they need to go far enough into the source of the pain.
Right, and so he puts the needle in, and suddenly...
that does not sound pleasant.
And then I feel something that is... It's similar to what you would feel if someone was stroking a string on a guitar.
Mm.
I feel this kind of, and I'm like, oh, God. And I don't know what's in there. You know, I don't know where the top part of my leg and the hip and all that crap is, but he's found the holy land of pain. And it goes in there. And then as quick as it happened, it was over.
Oh, good.
It was not even close to being as painful as I thought it would be. But it hurt.
Oh.
And then I guess I'm doing all this because Carla watched it. And he takes and he kind of rubs the area.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Then he began to rub me. And oh, what a feeling that was. No, he was rubbing the area.
He's got to massage it, right?
He massages it to get all that medicine where it's supposed to be.
Get that tussin in there, boy.
Get that tussin, boy. Get that tussin right down to the bone.
But, you know, if he did it quickly, that has to be the sign of a good guy. Because remember when we talked about epidurals and the people that have a hard time finding the spot? That's where the pain is. So the fact that he did it quickly, obviously you did have a good guy, right?
He was good, and he's a very talented guy. And afterwards, Carla, he leaves, and we're getting ready to go and check out. And Carla says, I cannot believe the size of that needle they put in you.
Mm.
And it was it was a fun experience. But right away, immediately, there's a little bit of relief. And I feel the fact that the pain's starting to go away. And, you know, anybody that's ever played any kind of sport, that's the magic needle. That's what they talk about.
Yeah, I saw it in Varsity Blues. That's where I learned about those type of needles.
You love James Vanderbeek.
Yeah.
And afterwards, he is filling out his paperwork, and he's got his, like, little blue tweed sport coat thing that he's wearing. And he goes, all right, you all set. You know, and I'll call you, young lady, with your MRI results, and you should be good to go. So he's got the pen in his right hand, and I extend my hand to shake it, and he transfers the pen from his right hand to his left.
Yes.
And I got, the only way I can describe it, I got an Al Chervik greeting from him.
What does that mean?
Because that means when he shook my hand, it was like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He was walking by me just kind of like, all right.
Gave you the brush off.
Yeah, sure. Not that I want him to hug me or give me a wet kiss or anything like that.
No, you
want to
play golf with him.
But he walks away.
No, but it's the old stand-up comedy thing, Mike, in his mind. He's saying, I got your money. I got it. We're done.
You know, it worked. I don't think I'm going to have to go back. That's all I care about. I'm very happy about that. The thing is that I've told people for years, if I go to a cocktail party, I want to talk to the surgeon, mm-hmm. I want to talk to the police officer, or I want to talk to the airline pilot. Those are the three professions that I get all stalker-like with.
What if all three aren't there?
If all three aren't there, I like to leave the party early. You know, if you get somebody, hey, how you doing? What do you do for a living? I work at a title company. Okay.
Oh.
I'll see you later. Thank you.
Oh, you don't want to learn about
titles? I'm kidding, of course. I don't want to insult all people that might work in title companies, but, you know, I just closed on a house, okay? I sold my house up in Virginia. I went and I dealt with those guys.
What about a pro athlete?
Yeah, a pro athlete.
What if there's a pro athlete at the party?
Pro athletes get so inundated, and because we kind of, on a really super, just above circus clown level, know what pro athletes go through.
Right.
I don't like to be at a party with pro athletes because the pro athletes are inundated. Oscar, you know this. You hang around. You stalk them more than anybody on the show.
They find me, too.
They
I'm great
find
to hang
you
out
my
with.
Irish ass.
They love 10. Him because he's from a medical family.
And I don't talk to him about sports because I barely know about their sport.
That's
what Dominique actually told me one day. He said, you know what? You never ask me about football. I said, well, I don't really know what to ask you. That's it.
You know what? That's one of the reasons why I think Matt Elliott never left me alone is that I never talked football with him.
No, and he never left you alone because he wanted to get you into his room.
Well, I did have a fine, round ass.
He wanted to get you. You had a baby face and a countenance that he loved.
Mm.
He wanted to take you. He wanted to give you a bubble bath. That's what he wanted to
do. I never let him. Even though he said
please.
Keep
in touch with him? Have you heard from him in all these years?
Yeah, I'm Facebook friends with him. You know, his son went through what my son went through.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
And
pediatric leukemia?
Yeah, but he's all right. He's cured
as
well.
Oh, my God. I had no idea that Matt's kid went through
that. We've kept in touch a little bit, but not entirely. He's in the Indiana area now, I think, in the Midwest.
You know, it's amazing because I'm known for keeping my relationships for years and years and years. Don't turn around.
Hi, this is Oscar's phone. Oscar says he's too busy to record promos for Tech 411. As for Todd, well, he's just too wealthy and good-looking to do a task like that. So here we go. Tech 411 is two guys trying to bring you the biggest tech news stories for the week. They also give you an app of the week. In the end, Todd will plug White Noise and Compulsive, then talk about how hard his life is. Oscar will say hello in Chinese. Oh no, Oscar has had a few too many again and is making me get him an Uber. Please listen so he has more to do than drink.
Your personal guide to everything tech.
Tech 4.
Tech 411 with Oscar Santana and Todd Moore.
The best of O'Mara.
Around the globe, across the nation, looking through your neighbor's window. The Mike O'Mara Show now presents News You May Not Need. A comprehensive look at the stories you may or may not be talking about during your daily activity. And now, News You May Not Need.
Here is our headline today for News You May Not Need. Vladimir Putin is a dick.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we all can agree on that. Accusing the West of encouraging an unconstitutional coup in Ukraine, Vladimir Putin. It's weird that he's done this after the Olympics. You know what I mean?
It's not weird at all, Mike.
It's like he was just waiting to get it out of the way, and now he can go back to being a complete a-hole.
It's so calculated.
It's like he used the West for everything he could get. He knows that if he had done this prior to the Olympics, there may have been a significant boycott.
Exactly.
It's really nasty. I mean, it's a bad dude. He accused the West of trying an unconstitutional coup, and he said Moscow reserves the right to use the military to protect Russians in Ukraine, but he voiced hope that he won't need to do it. Okay, terrific, Vladimir.
Not buying it.
The Russian leader's first comments on Ukraine since its fugitive president fled to Russia came as a U.S. Secretary of State, the U.S. Secretary of State, John Kerry, arrived in Kiev to meet with the Ukraine government. Putin declared that Western actions were driving Ukraine into anarchy and warned that any sanctions the West places on Russia for its actions will backfire. It's just the same old... I got news for you. This is my memory of the Cold War. It sounds exactly
still the
like
enemy,
the
right?
Crap. They've been the enemy. They always will be the enemy. I believe that about Russia.
There you go.
The seemingly endless winter dumped a half foot of snow on the ground in parts of the South, Mid-Atlantic, and Northeast, and many areas Tuesday morning saw something even more unusual in March. I think it's more unusual. I don't remember this. A blast of Arctic air that sent temperatures plummeting into the single digits.
It is awfully cold outside.
BWI Thurgood Marshall broke a 141-year-old record low temperature, reaching 4 degrees last night.
Why would they have airplanes 140 years ago?
It's hard to believe at the airport.
I know.
That's funny. Thurgood Marshall Airport broke a 141-year-old record. They didn't have the airport 141 years ago.
To be clear, 140 years ago, parking was a lot easier because they just didn't have the traffic.
They had blades.
They had blades.
The National Weather Service said the low reached early Tuesday, broke a 5-degree record set on that day in 1873. Well, I would assume it's a Baltimore record, right?
It sure is cold.
It's not the airport.
Mike, it sure is cold.
It also was a record low for the month of March. Dulles International Airport, also right here in D.C., tied a 1993 record for the month at 1 degree.
Wow.
Minus one.
I saw something that
I
hadn't seen in a long time. When Carrie, they opened the mall for 4 hours yesterday, so she had to go in to open the store. She was delighted. And when I went to clear her car off this morning, there was still snow inside her car.
Yeah.
From when she drove home and kicked her boots. It stayed that cold.
That's why, even though it's in the garage, I still got snow on the blower.
That's right, blower activated.
Both BWI and Dulles broke record lows 2 days in a row. The harsh winter has been rough for some businesses, but for a lucky few, the frigid weather means more cold, hard cash.
Yeah, for the 20.
Ace Hardware, having their best winter in more than a decade. For snowblower and shovel sales. Waterproof boots are on a long back order at clothing maker L.L. Bean, and more people are staying home and ordering gooey, grilled cheese sandwiches and booze from delivery.com.
Wow.
We
ordered in Chinese, I guess it was Sunday night for the Oscars. Thank you. And
Julia, want Chinese?
Hello.
And our particular Chinese vendor is very personable, so Carrie and I tend to use the speakerphone when we call in the order because it's always fun. And he was very, very
Oscar.
Busy.
See, they can't tell when Oscar's shaking his head, but I get to see that show. That's right. The whole family gathers around to
Let's
listen to the man.
Let's order Chinese.
Let's go. We're ordering Chinese. Let's get the man with the strange accent
Hello, Mr. Nam. Come to front door, as always. Thank you now. Bye-bye. He's great.
Family. Yeah, way to keep the generations going.
It's fun. It's always fun.
Generations of hate.
What you do is you patronize people in your hometown, Oscar. I'm not going to the big box store Chinese place.
You patronize and patronize.
I do.
That's terrific. Well done. The concept of a polar vortex doesn't feel good, but it's good for business, said the vice president of Ace Hardware Corporation. The only reason I put this story in news you may not need is because of the name of the president of Ace Hardware.
Is his name Ace?
It is one of the greatest names in the history of all the news that I have ever heard or read.
Does it merit a timpani?
Yeah, as a matter of
fact. Okay, good.
He says here.
Yes.
I'm reading it.
Okay.
This is the vice president at Ace Hardware, Kane Calamari.
Oh, wow.
It's the Kane Calamari Show. His last name is Calamari. All I know is he's been working really hard. He was really fried. At the end of this. Sorry. With his incredible success with Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston is pretty much set for life. He says, quote, I don't need to work. I don't need to work ever again. So the choices that I make now should be things that I think are either fun or important or challenging. Cranston's next move has all of that. I'd go to Broadway to see this. He's making his Broadway debut in a role far from Walter White, playing former President Lyndon B. Johnson in All the Way.
Really?
Yeah. Doesn't that sound cool?
That sounds fantastic.
I'd go see that. Cranston plays Johnson during his first year in office following the assassination of JFK and explores both his fight for re-election and the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. I'd love to see that.
I mean, does it seem to you that Johnson is sort of the recent era of presidents, yep, underreported and the most complex?
Yeah, I think he was a dick.
Oh, I guarantee you he was a
Absolutely,
dick.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think there was a lot going on there.
Oh, a lot going on. And I think he really knew how to be president,
yeah,
and he loved being president.
He sure did.
I'd go see that. Bryan Cranston on Broadway. Who wouldn't want to see that?
LBJ, bitch.
The, the slavery drama 12 Years a Slave won the Academy Award for Best Picture on Sunday, making history. Do you know how it made history?
No.
It's the first movie from black director to win the film industry's highest honor in 86 years of the Oscars.
Oh, that wow. surprises me.
British director Steve McQueen's unflinching portrayal of pre-Civil War American slavery won two other Oscars, including Best Supporting Actress for newcomer and beautiful woman Lupita Nyong'o, and Best Adapted Screenplay based on the memoir of Solomon Northrup, a free man who was tricked and sold into slavery in Louisiana. And it is, I think, going away. I mean, it lapped the field. It's that good a movie. So, but I think it deserved the best picture Oscar.
So the director was not the guy from Bullet.
No, he's dead, Rob.
What?
Yeah, cancer.
I didn't even know he was sick.
I'm surprised you didn't know that. 79-year-old. This is just a sweet story I put in the news you may not need to make you smile. This is just so sweet. 79-year-old Alden Hiltunen, or Hiltunen, H-I-L-T-U-N-E-N. Alden Hiltunen lives up in North Michigan in a town called Ora, and for the past 22 years, he hasn't been able to see because he has macular degeneration. But recently, he got his vision back when doctors at the University of Michigan implanted a telescopic lens into one of his eyes.
Oh, this is how amazing.
Truly spectacular technology that they can do this. Apparently, things are still pretty blurry for him, but he can see well enough to recognize faces and read and write again.
No kidding.
And one of the first things he did was sit down and write a note to his wife that simply said, "I love you, Glenda." Isn't that an amazing story? I love this.
That's so cool.
It's happening.
Alden's grandson, Kyle, posted a photo of the letter online last week, and now it's going viral. That should go viral. Kyle said that when his grandmother saw it, she immediately broke down in tears, and she said that everything that they've gone through to get his vision back has been worth it. I thought that was just a really, really cool story.
Can I add a quick capper to that? If anyone still has the Letterman show last night in your TiVo, watch it and stay through the final guest. It is a military veteran. He was a quadriplegic. He had his both arms, both legs blown off in an accident. And
that's not a quadriplegic. That's a quadruple amputee. Yeah.
Forgive me. Right. Okay. He had two arms put on his body. It's the first time this operation has ever been done. He comes out. He's out there, and he does the Letterman show. And the thing is, not the amazement of seeing the operation, but he is so grounded and so cool about it, and it makes you feel great about medicine.
And they're synthetic arms that he has?
No, they're human arms.
It's human arms.
Transplanted onto his body.
Really?
First time it's ever been done. But the thing again, the technology is one part of it, but this guy, he's so great.
Oh, cool.
Absolutely worth watching.
So an actual full arm transplant on either side of his body?
Two arms.
Wow, that's great.
With his prosthetic legs, he's driving.
That's truly amazing.
It's a great story.
Well, let me bring us all back down to earth after all this sweetness and light.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Time for a little something.
Okay.
These are some Hall of Fame criminals.
Oh, no.
On Friday afternoon, security guards at a Walmart in Porter, Texas. Now, listen, I do try to offer balance with the news.
You always do.
With Rob's tip in, all the more important that I really balance this out. I think I've succeeded.
Good.
And I've succeeded significantly here. In Texas, they caught a brother and sister shoplifting, 26-year-old Cameron Beck and 25-year-old Charlene Ellett.
Right.
When the police searched them, they found a burnt light bulb and a cut pen, which tested positive for meth. So both of them were arrested for possession of a controlled substance and shoplifting.
It's best.
That's when Cameron asked if they could just charge his sister, since she had just been in jail and she had a record.
Oh, no.
It's bad to sell out your sister like that.
It is.
But it's especially bad considering what happened next.
Oh, it gets worse.
Cameron and Charlene
were locked up in adjoining cells, and as the cops were filling out booking reports, they saw the two kissing through the bars.
They're brother and sister.
Well, the cops asked him about that. They said, what the hell's going on? And they explained that Charlene has a different father, but the same mother.
Oh, no.
And ever since Cameron had gotten out of jail, they'd been living together in a motel and having sex.
No!
I know. Now, in Texas, sexual contact is illegal between any siblings, even half-siblings, so both of them were also hit with a prohibited sexual conduct charge. And that's not all they were hit with.
Really, Mike?
Yeah, they were hit with the lucky stick.
This episode of The Mike O'Mara Show has been brought to you by our Amazon page. Remember, especially during the holidays, the next time you need to buy anything, just go to MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. And happy holidays.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.